In 1990, a young man by the name of Chris McCandless set out on a journey. He was a recent college graduate. He left his white suburban middle-class home in Atlanta. He jumped in his old beat-up Datsun and he began to drive. He had a restless, wandering spirit. He was looking for something and he didn't know what it was, so he drove. He made it to Arizona when the car broke down. And he left it there and began to walk. And he burned his money and began to just wander the United States, falling in with drifters, homeless people on the street, made his way down into Mexico. Whenever he needed cash, he'd get a job, waiting tables, busting dishes, get some cash, and he'd move on. A restless wanderer. After 2 years of this lifestyle, he thought, I need to find a place where I can wander and find the answers, and complete this pilgrimage that I'm on, and I don't even know what I'm looking for. And he heard about Alaska, and this great wide open space where you could go and be by yourself and wander. So he hitchhiked his way up through the Yukon, up into Alaska. He got a ride out into the wilderness. The car dropped him off. He jumped out, said goodbye, and that was the last time anyone ever saw him alive. He walked several days just into the wilderness with nothing but the clothes on his back. He found an old abandoned bus that had been used by hunters as a little hunting lodge. And he made his camp there. And there he lived, finding berries, small game when he could to subsist on. And he wrote this on one of the seats in the bus. He wrote this on the back. It's kind of his manifesto. He said, and now, after two rambling years, comes the final and greatest adventure, the climactic battle to kill the false being within and victoriously conclude the spiritual pilgrimage. 10 days and nights of freight trains and hitchhiking brings him to the great white north, no longer to be poisoned by civilization. He flees and walks alone upon the land to become lost in the wild. And he truly did become lost in the wild. As it grew colder and it was hard for him to find food, he grew thinner and thinner and weaker and weaker. And one day he made the fatal mistake of eating some berries that he shouldn't have eaten. They were poison. And he grew too sick to even leave the bus. And he lay there in the bus, unable to find food, unable to do anything, and he died. 3 weeks later, some hunters came in, and they found him. There was his corpse, emaciated and decaying. This young man had called himself the Super Tramp. He was a wanderer. He's a restless soul. He's looking for something. He didn't know what it was, but he was off to find it, and he's willing to give up all of civilization to find it. He never found it. Another man, young man by the name of St. Augustine, was a wanderer. He was a restless soul. Last week, we celebrated his feast day, August 28th, the feast of St. Augustine. Augustine lived and died in 430 AD, became the bishop of Hippo. He's a great, prolific writer, great speaker. He's considered now to be a saint and a doctor of the church. He wrote one of the most famous books of all of the Western canon. It's called The Confessions of St. Augustine. Maybe you've seen it before. It's a spiritual autobiography of sort where he confesses his faith in Jesus Christ. It's his testimony. And he writes it as a prayer to God. And the theme of this great book was a restless heart. Augustine writes that his heart was restless, that he was a wanderer, and he believes that all of us are, and we're looking for something. And this describes his pilgrimage. And he starts off the book by writing these words to God. He says, "Nevertheless, to praise you is the desire of mankind, a little piece of your creation. You stir men to take pleasure in praising you because you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. You have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." Augustine knew that we needed God. We needed to be with God. That was the only answer to this aching heart. Have you ever felt that longing for something else in your heart? Maybe you're not like Augustine or the Super Tramp and you leave everything and you wander, but that aching, that thought that there must be something more, there must be something different, there must be something better, there must be something so achingly beautiful that's going to somehow fill this gap in my life. Our hearts were made for something beside what we see. Our hearts were made for God, Augustine says. When we come to the gospel passage this morning, and we see Jesus' encounter with these Pharisees and scribes. And what were the Pharisees and scribes, what were they upset about? They were upset that Jesus' disciples did not wash their hands before eating. Now, do you think that they were concerned about bacteria and getting sick? No, they didn't know about germs. You didn't wash your hands before you ate because you wanted to be clean. It was about ritual purity. It was about being set off as holy, okay? It was something that they did religiously because they thought it would bring them closer to God. Now, the Pharisees in the Gospels are often the foils of Jesus. And sometimes we think that the Pharisees, they just seem like a bunch of hypocrites and they're self-righteous and we don't like them. And they do come off that way. But today I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what? I think these Pharisees were just like Augustine and they were just like the Supertramp. They really wanted God. Their hearts were desperate. They were wandering. They wanted to be with God. And they're trying to be with God the only way they knew how. You see, thousands of years before the Pharisees and Jesus, the Jews were a wandering, restless people in a desert. And God met them there. God came down to them and he met them. And God would abide in something called the tabernacle, and his presence would be there, and you would go into the tabernacle to be with God. But that was the only place that you could actually experience the presence of God and be with God. And who got to go into the tabernacle? The priests. And in Exodus chapter 30, we read that the priests, before they went into the tabernacle, they were to wash their hands. They were to wash their hands. It was a symbol of holiness, of purity, of being separated, of preparing yourself to go be with God. And so these Pharisees, the descendants of the Jews, they thought, wow, we want to be with God. What if we washed our hands too? Maybe we could be with God. Maybe we could bring the temple where God's presence is into our homes. And so they developed these rules that weren't in our Old Testament. They weren't given by God. But they developed them because they wanted to have God in their home. They wanted to meet with God. Their hearts were restless. They were wanderers, and they wanted to fill those gaps. What happens, though, when you have rituals and rules over a period of years? You forget why you're doing it, right? And so by the time of Jesus, you have these rituals and these rules, and they're just external things that they do. You know, you wear certain clothes, you go to church on a certain day, you don't eat certain food. We all have these different ways of become social boundaries of marking ourselves off as better than others, as different ways to identify yourself. They become social boundaries and things that you do. And they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, you're a rabbi, you're a Jewish teacher, and your disciples, they don't wash their hands, they don't do this ritual purity thing, and they don't eat the right foods, these outward things. And Jesus looks at them, and I believe he has pity and love in his heart and compassion for them. And he says, I see that you want to be with God, that your hearts are restless, but I'm going to tell you today something that's going to change you. Something's going to change the way we relate to God. And he's going to tell them, it doesn't matter what's on the outside. What matters is what's on the inside. If you want your heart to find its home, first you have to deal with your heart. Because the things that corrupt us and keep us from God come from inside. In our scripture, he says these words. If I can find them in my notes. He says that, I can't find it in my notes, so I'm going to do it from memory. He says, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. It's the things inside. It's the heart from which defilement comes. And in that moment, he redefined what it meant to be a Jew, and he redefined how we find rest with God. It's not by outward ritual. It's by dealing with the heart. Our hearts have evil intentions, he said. Have you thought about that before? Our hearts have evil intention. Maybe you've felt that. You've experienced that. Our problems lie within. There's a great old cartoon called Pogo. It was before my time. But Pogo, in this cartoon, one day, the characters are looking out at the world, and it's full of garbage, and it's messed up. And one of the characters turns to the other and says, look at all this garbage. And the other character says, we have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. Okay? There was an old phrase of a general in 1812 who said, we've met the enemy and he is ours. Okay? Well, Pogo, the cartoon, takes it and turns it and says, we have met the enemy and he is us. Jesus today says, the enemy is you. It's inside. It's eternal. It's our hearts that we need to deal with. If we want to be at home with God, we have to deal with our hearts. The problem, according to the Pharisees and scribes, is that they'd become focused on the externals. They'd neglected to examine their hearts. Their efforts to live faithfully were putting up actual walls between themselves and God and their neighbor. And this is why Jesus calls them hypocrites. Elsewhere in the gospel, he calls them whitewashed tombs. Whitewashed tombs, meaning you're painted nicely on the outside. You're like a mausoleum that has flowers and it looks great on the outside. But what's inside? A rotting bones and flesh. We need to deal with the heart, Jesus said. No law or tradition can deal with the darkness that lurks in each and every one of us. Now, we can try to portray a squeaky clean image, but guess what? One way or another, the evil intentions of our heart will leak out. The highly edited version of ourselves, the facade that we present to the world, it's gonna crumble sooner or later, and we're gonna be revealed for who we are, and we're gonna see it. I remember speaking with a friend who was in AA dealing with alcoholism, and every 30 days it seemed like he would have another relapse. He kept going back to drinking, and every 30 days, he could control it for 30 days, but after 30 days he would have another relapse. And finally one of his friends in AA said, keep coming, keep working, that's great, but at some point you're gonna have to deal with more than just the drinking. You're gonna have to deal with what's inside. You're gonna have to deal with why do you drink? What's going on in here that makes it so you drink? As Christians, as people, Jesus says, you want to be with God. You're restless. You're wanderers. At some point, you're going to have to deal with what's in here. This is what counts. This is where you're at. Would you like to fix your heart today, he says? Would you like to have peace? Would you like to end your wandering and find rest? Come to me. I'm the answer. I am what your heart is looking for. I am what the Jews were looking for. I am what Augustine was looking for. I am what the supertramp was looking for. Augustine wrote, you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. And Jesus stands up today and declares to the world, your heart might be sick. It might be broken. I know it's restless. Come to me. Let me heal you. Augustine, that great saint, he finally came at age 30 to this point where he knew he needed God. Augustine had been a super tramp. He'd been a wanderer, a restless wanderer as well. He had worked his way through the world trying to find peace, first of all, through sexual intimacy. When that didn't work, he went to academia and philosophy. He was a great scholar. He worked his way up as a professor. Then he said, that doesn't meet my needs. So then what did he do? He went into government and politics. He gained power. That didn't work. So what did he do next? Money. He arranged a marriage with a very rich young girl and their family so he could have money. Did that fill the void in his life? No. Nothing filled the void in his life. And then he began going to church. Did he go to church because he was interested in Christ? No. He went to the local church because there was a famous bishop named Ambrose who was a great speaker, a great professor. And Augustine went not because he wanted to know about Jesus, but because he wanted to hear this great speaker and take some notes and maybe steal some of his ideas and how to preach and how to speak. And while he sat in that service, his heart was moved, and he was called to come to Christ. One day, he was sitting at home, wrestling with whether or not to give his heart to Jesus Christ. But as he looked inside his heart, he just felt so sinful and so dirty. He didn't know what to do, and he didn't know how to give up the sin in his life, and he wrote these words in his confessions. He says that when I looked in the mirror, I perceived myself as twisted and filthy, covered with sores and ulcers. And I looked and I was appalled, but there was no way of escaping from myself. There was no way of escaping from myself. I wonder if that young man, Chris, was running so much because he wanted to escape from what was inside, from what was inside himself. But Augustine didn't know what to do, so he ran out into a garden, a quiet garden, and he burst into tears. And there, while he's crying in the garden and praying, he hears a child's voice from somewhere, he doesn't know where, telling him to take up and to read. Take up and read. And so there's no children around. He doesn't know of any children's game that say take up and read, but he goes and he finds the scroll of Paul's writings that he had sitting next to him. and he opens it up, and it falls to Romans chapter 13, and he reads these words, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires." And it was all he needed to hear. And at that moment, he put on Christ, and he gave up his life to Christ. And he finally came home and ended his wandering and found his rest. Christ this morning and always, over and over, calls to us, "Come unto me, all you that are labor. Come, cease your wandering, find your rest."